Attention this morning to Luke chapter 16. Start reading with verse 1 and read down through the 12th verse of Luke chapter 16. Well, the scripture says, "And he said unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved to do that. To do that, when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? These series of verses that I've read to you this morning have been on my mind this day, and I remember very well having spoken upon this subject before. I remember where we were. We were over at Brother Lloyd and Sister Angie's basement. If you want to go look it up from a couple of years ago on the website, I believe it was probably around May of 2011. I read these same 12 verses, had them on my mind that morning, and I know that there's other ministers here, and they can certainly probably reason with me in this and understanding. And anytime that you've got something on your mind that you know you've spoken about before, you question whether or not it's the Lord's will that you speak about it again. But you know, the Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi, he told them to rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. And he said, for me to write the same things unto you is not grievous. Right. But for you, it is safe. You know, whenever we see whenever we read the New Testament scriptures, we read things in repetition that the Apostle Paul mentions more than just once. And if we understand that the scriptures were left for us, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, what we see there is the principle that is set forth, that it's okay if we see the same things over and over again. You know, it's okay if we hear that same old gospel message of the Lord's free and sovereign grace, and we're made to rejoice again in our hearts of that work which the Lord has done for us. It's okay if again the minister encourages us in our walk with the Lord. And that's what this lesson does here in Luke chapter 16 in the first 12 verses. It's a lesson. And as one of my fathers in the ministry, Elder Marvin Loudermilk, would say over and over again to me, preach the lesson, preach the lesson, preach the lesson. There's a lesson in these verses. Mm-hmm. How are we supposed to find ourselves in the midst of these words? Every one of them, except for the opening verses that I've read to you in red. Now, I know some people would say, Brother Will, there's no differences between the red and the black. And I understand every single one of them are the preserved words of the Almighty God. But these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that He spoke unto His disciples.
Yeah.
And He said unto His disciples. And the rest of it is in red. These are words that He spoke unto those that identified themselves with Him, that were identified with following Him, that were identified with His words, that wanted to do just as He said. And He's telling them here, here's a lesson about walking with Me. The Scripture says that there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. What is the lesson here, Brother Will? How are we supposed to see ourselves here? You know, we don't think in these terms, if you will, in this world today of stewards. When's the last time you heard of that job title here in the year 2015? Of the role of a steward here in this world, which is a caretaker of a certain one's estate. He takes care of it, handles the affairs of his business, of his finances, of the management of his plantation, if you will. He's the one that has been left with a certain responsibility. And you know, even though we don't use those words today, we certainly know that that responsibility is still there. We know that there are ones that manage people's affairs today. There's ones that are over the estate, if you will, of other people. But nevertheless, we don't use that term steward. You know, we don't use the term Lord much whenever we're talking about people here in this world. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. You say, how are we supposed to apply this to ourselves if we see ourselves as being the steward? And we see the Lord of all glory as being the certain rich man. Now we've got the context of how you and I are supposed to apply this lesson to our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rich man. He is the richest of all. He is the possessor of all. He is the owner of a cattle of 1,000 hills. And every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from whence cometh the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is the one that has bestowed any good gift that you have this morning. It came from Lord God Almighty. You don't have anything good in and of yourself. Now I know we got here some daddies and children and mamas and children. You say and children. I put an S on that. And children. Chillings, I guess, is what I was about to come out. We have daddies and children, we have mamas and children. You say, you mean to tell me
that I got nothing good from my parents. I'm not telling you that you didn't get, but it had to be blessed from above in order to be something that God is going to honor. It had to be something that He laid His blessed hand upon. And those goods that you and I have here in this world today, you and I are stewards of those goods, and they belong to that certain rich man that has given us those blessings here in this world. And here we've got a lesson of one that has been accused of wasting. He's been accused of being riot and unruly with the things in which God has given him. You know, if there's one thing that you and I need to see this morning in the midst of this lesson and in the midst of the Scriptures as a whole, is that the Lord doesn't look kindly upon the wasting of the things in which He has given us. If He's given you Daddy's, His Father's Day, if He's given you the blessing of a family, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord, there's a good gift that came from above, your spouse here in this world, your helpmeet. If you've been blessed to have children in this world, what do the Scriptures tell us about the children? That the fruit of the womb is a heritage of the Lord. He gave you those things.
Amen.
He's blessed you to be able to have these things.
Amen.
You have them because God is blessing you. And you know, a lot of us can sometimes at times wonder, where are my blessings from above? Why is not the Lord visiting me? Look around at the things that God Almighty is giving you, and what you'll see is a witness that God is blessing you with some things. Now, what are you doing with them? You know, what are you engaging with whenever it comes to these gifts that God has given you and has blessed you to be a partaker of? Are you one that can be as this steward is this day, that is being visited by that rich man, that is being visited by this Lord that is giving him all these things to take care of? Could you be accused of one that has wasted his goods? That has wasted his goods. You know, whenever we see here this picture of what takes place is you have an accusation against the man that has been placed in charge of these goods. And the Scripture says in verse 2, it says, "And he called him and he said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee, give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward." You know, how is it that I have heard this of thee? You know, one of the things that every single one of us need to realize this morning is that we're called upon day after day to answer for ourselves before the judgment seat of Almighty God. Day after day. You know, one of the mistakes of modern day religion in preaching a God of judgment. The God is a God of judgment. But the errors of modern day religion have brought about an understanding and a teaching that the only judgment that occurs is the judgment on the final day. Because they tell you that you must do something now so that you can stand before Him on that final day and be judged according to your own righteousness. Well, you know, whenever you teach that, what you lose is one of the foundational principles of the Scriptures, and that is that it is not that judgment that I am charging and encouraging you to do something today so that you can face it with a clear conscience. It's the judgment of day after day after day, as the Scripture would tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and let's set the context of this judgment. Let's set the context of when we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, if he's encouraging them to do good so that they can, whether in presence or absence, may be accepted of the Lord. If this is talking about the judgment at the end of time, then what are we going to do with Scriptures that tell us that on that day that we'll be judged not according to our works? See, it creates a controversy in your comprehension of Scripture. Because we plainly have places in Scripture that tells us that He saved us and called us not according to our own works.
but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But yet we read about a judgment seat where we'll be judged according to the things in our body, according to that which He hath done, whether good or bad. See, if we're able to take and understand that one is talking about the final judgment day and how that the children of God will be judged according to the works of the Lord Jesus Christ on that day, and apply this judgment seat of Christ that the Apostle Paul is writing about in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the place of judgment that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in Luke chapter 16 when this steward stood before Him, and apply it to here in this time world, it gets rid of a lot of mud, doesn't it? It allows us to be able to see clearly that day after day that we must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we must answer for the things in which we have done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad, so that the Lord can bless us for the good that we've done, so that the Lord, we pray, would be merciful in us for the things in which we have done bad. And what we see here is that a steward is guilty of something that he's done bad. He's as guilty as he can be of not taking care of the gifts that the rich man had given unto him, of not looking after the blessings that had been bestowed upon him to be a partaker of this rich man's estate. And I'll tell you, child of grace today, if you're in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, you've been blessed to be a steward of the estate of the living God. And He's given you a blessing in that He's made His abode in your soul. And He's blessed you in order to be a partaker of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will you do with the goods that have been bestowed unto you? What will you do with them? You know, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all stand there and answer for the things in which we have done. Have we made good use of the things in which God has given us? You know, have we utilized them to the point that they would multiply, to the point that not only we would be partakers of the direct gifts that the Lord has given us, but that we would share those gifts with others. And that, as the Scripture would say, there is that which withholdeth and yet tendeth to poverty, but there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. You know, that's one of the oxymorons, if you will, of the Bible. How can you tell me that I'm going to scatter something and it increase, but yet if I hold on to it myself, then it'll fold itself up into poverty? Well, I tell you, when it comes to the gifts of God, there is that which scattereth and yet increaseth. In other words, as you bless others through the Lord's blessing upon you, He'll increase His blessing on you. You know, so many people today would try to capitalize on that message and preach a sermon on taking up a bunch of money. Please give more money. Please give more money to the preacher, and he'll give you more and more money. That's not what that lesson is. What it means is bless others through what God has given you, and He'll increase the blessing upon you. And that's exactly what we see here through the principle of this lesson in Luke chapter 16. Is you have a man that has been given the charge of an estate, and he was accused of wasting his master's goods. Those goods were not his in and of himself, but they were his because that rich man had given them unto him. And he calls him before him, and he charges him with the things in which he has heard. And instead of reacting in the knowledge that he knew he had done wrong, and instead of crying unto this Lord for mercy for the things in which he had done wrong, he goes about trying to cover up what he had done wrong. You know, he says, "Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg, I am ashamed." You know, whenever we're guilty before the Lord, one of the best things that you and I can do is to do one of these things that He was not willing to do. He was not willing to right the wrong and get back to work and to beg for mercy. Yeah. He was not willing to do that which we read about in Scripture that the Lord recognizes and that the Lord visits with mercy. And that is the begging and pleading, yeah, that He would be merciful unto us. He said, I cannot dig. See, in a natural sense, he had gotten so slothful, he had gotten so lazy that he couldn't utilize a shovel. He had gotten so lethargic in his manual skills that he couldn't once again go and earn a living anymore. He had gotten past the point of being able to work for a living. I cannot dig.
And he says, to beg, I am ashamed. But I want to tell you, in our service to God, we need to keep ourselves fresh to the point that we're ready to labor at any point in time that we can put our hands back to the shovel and go back to work in the kingdom of God. And we should never see ourselves above being able to beg from the mercy of God and from the people of the living God that they would visit us and be merciful unto us, that the Lord would once again bless us and be able to take up our place in the kingdom of God once again. But see, he wasn't willing to do it. Instead of being at a point where he could labor and continue, instead of being in a mindset that he could beg, you know, one of the worst shapes that a man can be in is to get to a point where he feels like he can't ask anybody else for anything because he's too high-minded. Mm-hmm. See, he's too high-minded to think that he could stoop as low as to ask for forgiveness and to ask that somebody would be forgiving to him. Because he's past that point, see. He's going about in things in his own manner so much that he can take care of himself. You see, he doesn't need anybody. Who are they to think that I should ask for forgiveness from them? You ever thought about that mindset that somebody would have? Well, that's the mindset of this steward at this stage. To beg, I am ashamed to beg for mercy. I'm ashamed to beg for forgiveness, and I cannot do it. And so he finds himself at a catch-22. He cannot follow the ways of God, so what must he do? He must go in the way of man. And I tell you, child of grace today, there's two paths that you can follow in this world. There's the path of the living God that you can walk in, that the Scripture describes as a gate that we must enter into, the straight gate. And it is a straight way. It's not one that you need to bend the rules a little bit in order to be able to make the Lord's ways better for your life. It is a straight way. It is a narrow way. Enter into the straight gate. Because he calls the ways of the world. You see, listen to how the Lord Jesus Christ, again, the letters in red of Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye into the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And that is not talking about the gates to everlasting torment. That's talking about the way to walk in the ways of this world today. It's broad. They'll accept anybody. You know, it doesn't matter what you do in your life that is wrong, that is in error. If you want to walk in that way, it is a wide path, and you don't have to correct anything to make any kind of correction to enter into it. You know, it's kind of like whenever you're driving a vehicle that's way above your caliber of being able to handle. You know, I don't know about you, but there's times when Sister Allison has to go and pick up things with our trailer. And I'll hook it up to my truck, and I'll get it backed in just right. So all that she's got to do is go forward. And I tell her, don't you ever get in a point where you got to back this thing up. Don't you ever get yourself in a corner where you've got to cut a tight corner. You go, and if you're used to turning a corner in your car, you go a few more feet before you turn with this trailer behind you, because she doesn't have experience in driving with something pulling behind her. Well, when it comes to the Broadway, you can drag any of your sins that you desire to be able to walk into this way. You can have the back end of your truck overflowing with them, because it's a broad way and you can get it through that gate. But you won't get it into that straight gate, because what does it say about that gate? For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Why is there few there be that find this? And praise be unto the Lord, this is not talking about eternal life. This is talking about a walk with Jesus here in this life. And why is it that there's few that find this? It's because there's few people in this world that are willing to shed themselves of the wickedness and of the things of the flesh so that they can walk in that straight and narrow way, because it will not fit through that gate with all the baggage that you and I can drag into it. Yeah. It will not. Here, this steward, he's faced with a decision. You can either do what God says, or you can do it the world's way. And I guarantee you that just as this steward found fellowship in this world, you can too. I won't tell you this morning that you can't find fellowship in this world. But I'll tell you what, I can tell you by the authority of God's word, you won't find joy in it. You'll find misery. You'll find heartache. Broken pocket, but you'll find anything that you want to find in the fellowship of this world. But I want to tell you, it doesn't mean that it's the best choice just because you can find fellowship out there. See, that's what he thought. That's what he said that he was going to do to cover up his sins, cover up what he had done. You know, Brother Tommy Roundtree was here about 2 months ago, Brother Virgil, and he preached on sin covered versus sin covered up.
Outstanding message, I thought. Outstanding message.
Amen.
Blessed is he. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered, whose transgression is forgiven from the 46th Psalm. I think blessed is the man that can have that label upon him. And that means that our sins have been covered up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a difference between that kind of covering and a sin that's covered up, which is what David tried to do whenever he laid with Bathsheba.
Yeah.
And he calls that man back from war, hoping that he'll go home to that wife so that if she becomes with child during the time in which he's at home, then they can never blame him for being the daddy of that child. But I tell you, old Uriah was too noble of a man. He tried to cover it up by taking the life of the man and having his life taken so that he could then take that woman into his house and so that the birth of that child would be legitimate in the eyes of the world. But you can't cover up sin in the eyes of the one that the Scripture says that he knows every thought and intent of the heart. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. See, the steward sent out and he said, "How much do you owe my master for the oil?" And you know, he says that he owed him 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, "Take thy bill and sit down and write 50. Then he said to another concerning the wheat who owed 100 measures of wheat, "Take thy bill, sit down and write 80, which is 80. In other words, he went to wiping off some debts on the book of his master so that he could collect on some of these things and be able to show a little bit in the books and also be able to make friends with these ones that owed his master. See, an unjust weight is an abomination in the eyes of God. And that's what this man has done, is he's created his own weight. He's created his own balance. He's created his own right and his own wrong. He's made it his standard to determine whether or not these ones have actually made up their debt and have done that which was okay in the eyes of their master. He's come up with his own system. I want to tell you, there's not a one of us here today that can come up with a system that's gonna be pleasing in the eyes of God. He's got a system, and he's got a standard that he set forth. And what you and I need to do is, even though those standards and that system sometimes can be a challenge, is that we can do our best to try to meet the standards and the system that he's laid out, as opposed to come up with our own. As opposed to coming up with our own ways and come up with our own rules, we need to continue to stick with the ways and the rules of Almighty God. And this man, though, he's tried to make him some friends, if you will, on the outer skirts. You know, we see and read about these things in politics today, and it's just amazing to me that some people have no more fear of God than what they have, and to think that they're going to get away with such foolishness is what goes on. You know, even on county government levels, you can read about in the metro area, and I can tell you personal stories, and no, I'm not going to delve into it from the pulpit, but I can tell you personal stories of money passing hands. No, not in this one, praise be to the Lord, but in other places, of money passing hands under the table to try to get a certain deal worked out, to try to get something tilted in advantage of one or the other. And yet they think that that table can hide it from the eyes of the judge of all mankind, and it won't work. You know, our Lord is merciful, and he may let some things pass for a time, but the more and more people think that they can get away with it, and the longer it goes on, the more and more apt it is that the Lord's going to bring it to light. And he's brought this to light here to this unjust steward. He's come to him because he hadn't collected on his debts. He hadn't been faithful to go out and collect on the things that he sold. And here he is at this point in time of being called to the table of this sin that he's done. He's tried to make friends with the ones that have owned his masters. You know, that owed the master. You know, verse 8. As I walk down through here in these verses, as I read through these next verses, verses 8 and 9, there's been a lot of debate, if you will, over these two verses. Because if you just read these two verses in the midst of this and don't understand anything about the personality of God, you actually think that God is commending him for what he's done, and thinks that God is approving of him going and lowering these debts and allowing this person to just pay a little bit of what he owed. You know, the Scripture says, "And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon, of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you in the everlasting habitations. So isn't that God telling us that whenever He's called us to the carpet, that the best thing that we can do is just go and make ourselves some friends out in the world, and that the Lord will commend us for doing it? You think that's what the Lord is saying here in these verses? No, it's not. It's saying that the Lord has a personality. You know, the psalmist David would tell us that the God of heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. You know, that's a characteristic of God that a lot of people don't know exist. And that is that the Lord God of heaven is smiling upon these words. If you think that you're smart enough to willy your way out of this that you've been called to the carpet upon, if you think that you can just finagle just a little bit of books and that you can get out and away from the judgment of God, here's what the Lord has to say about that with a smile on His face. Go and make to yourselves friends of mammon, that they may receive you in the everlasting habitations. Go ahead. You know, how many times have we done this to our children whenever they think that they're smarter than us? You know, whenever I go and I give specific instructions to my children sometimes, and they don't follow it, I look outside and I look at them what they're doing, and I just smile. I just smile sometimes, Brother Virgil, whenever I tell them how to carry something so that it won't be so heavy. But yet, they don't want to carry it the way that I've shown them how to carry it. They want to do it their own way. You know, you've got one that's a lot stronger than the other, so he's got to feel like he's got to make up the difference, and he's got to come up with a way so that his brother doesn't have to carry so much. Instead of a way that I've shown them clearly how to do something, they want to come up with it their own way. And you know what I've said sometimes with a smile on my face? Go ahead. Go ahead. And you know, sometimes they're able to complete the task, but you know, it's a lot harder when they do it their way as opposed to if they would have done it the way that I said do it. You know, I can remember at times on the farm that, you know, when my daddy was real particular about the way things were done on there. Real particular. A lot more particular than I am with things around my house. And it wouldn't be long that he'd be gone and you know, he'd issue the instructions and then he'd go take care of other business, that we'd come up with our own way to try to get something done. And we'd have to listen intently, because when we heard the truck coming back up to check on us around lunch or later on in the afternoon, we'd have to revert back to the way that he had shown us how to do it. And you say, well, did y'all complete? A lot of times we did. A lot of times we were able to still complete the job. But I look back on it now, and I can see how that if we would have just taken a little bit more time and patience and learned how to do it the way that he was showing us, we'd have got it done faster. We'd have got it done more efficiently. We'd have got it done better than the way that we were trying to go about and do it in our own way. And in the same way that we do our children, that's what the Lord is saying here with a smile on His face. Go ahead and make yourself friends of everlasting habitation. See how long that you can live in the habitat of this world. If that's what you think you want and you want to do things that way, that's what He's charging them to do. Go ahead and learn the hard way, hard head. That's what He's saying. And we can come up with a hard-headed way in our walk with the Lord as opposed to doing what He has said and as opposed to looking out after what He has given us in a way in which will be pleasing in our sight. We can come up with our own way and say we've got a better way. We've got ways that we think are better. Not only that, we can become slothful in it. Yeah. We can become slothful in the ways that the Lord has told us to do it. You know, you can look at that and think about it from a church standpoint, that the Lord has issued instructions about worship and has told us how to worship, told us to worship, told us how to worship. The Lord has never created an institution that He didn't give the rules to run that institution. He's never done it. He created the institution of marriage, and guess what? He's got rules for how to make a marriage work. He created the institution of civil government. That is a God-ordained institution. Do you know that the Scriptures teach us about how a properly functioning government should work? He created the church, and He gave us the instructions on how this church is supposed to operate. And whenever man comes up with our own schemes and our own ways, and we become slothful in the way that the Lord said do it, this is what His look is from heaven. Go that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. I tell you, that's the broad way. That's the way to destruction. That's the way that you can carry on your life, and that's exactly what it'll bring about to you, is destruction in your walk with the Lord. You know, He says and reminds us here of a principle in verse 10 that is oh so true on many levels in a natural job environment, in a spiritual environment, in the church, that he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You know, you think about this rich man, and you think about what his possessions were in order to be able to be labeled rich. Do you think those 50 measures of oil and those 20 measures of wheat that this man just bartered out from under him was going to break him? I doubt it. I doubt it. I don't think 50 measures of oil and 20 measures of wheat is going to make or break somebody that's labeled as being rich. But there's a principle that you and I must live by, that God is telling us to observe here, and that he's saying that if he'll do that with 50 measures of oil, if he'll do that with 20 measures of wheat, which is not that much in quantity, if he'll be unjust in that which is least, he'll also be unjust in much. You take your role in the kingdom of God, and you know, the role of the ministry comes to mind a lot of times is whenever someone wants to preach and wants to stand before the people of God, they just feel like a lot of times among our people, and it's been something that as far back as I know our people have done, is that whenever someone carried that burden, they would be given a few minutes before the congregation. And so many times in that few minutes, they don't preach. But there, a lot of times their charge is, if I just had more time, if he would just let me go for an hour, I can't. Let me tell you something. If you can't preach in 5 minutes, don't even get started with an hour. And the same thing goes with any service that you can do in the kingdom of God. If you're not willing to clean the bathroom, if you're not willing to do the little things in the kingdom of God, then you're not going to do that which is much in the eyes of the people either. The same thing goes in our jobs. If we're not able to take on the little menial jobs of our workforce and where we work day to day, if something is too big, it's too small of a task, how dare they ask me to do such things? You know, there's some people that come to work in places and are accustomed to having everybody wait on them hand and foot. And then whenever they come to a place where the resources are not so bountiful and they have to write their own letters, they have to fold their own letters and put them in an envelope themselves. You would think that you were asking them to clean a bathroom. You would think that you were just asking way too much for them to be able to do. And immediately, whenever you see that attitude in somebody, what you see is somebody, if they're not willing just to do what it takes to get the job done and to do that which is least, they'll be unjust in that which is much as well. And that's by the authority of the living God that we can set forth that principle. If a man is laboring in the kingdom in that which is least, if he's faithful in that which is least, he'll be faithful in that which is must, that which is much. And if he's unjust in that which is least, he'll be unjust in much. You know, this steward is you and I. This steward is we need to see ourselves in this steward. We need to say we've been granted the caretaker of some things, of some goods by our Heavenly Father. We've been given some responsibilities. Yeah. We've been given some opportunities to serve. You know, you think of how people view opportunities in the world today, and there's a lot of people that would give so much for a certain job in this world, to get to work with a certain company, you know, to get to be able to wear that name get to wear a logo on their shirt or on their hat. But yet you think of yourself in the kingdom of the living God and the opportunity that you've been given to carry the name of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this world. You've been given much more than any logo on your hat and anything on your shirt. You've been able to be identified with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, that's more and above and beyond anything that there's a one of us today can say that we deserve. We've been given an opportunity. We've been given something. What will we do with it? Will we stand before the Lord God and say, Lord, I'm laboring. Lord, in places where I'm not too high to beg. Forgive me for that which I have failed in, and bless me as I go from this point forward to walk with Thee in more and more work, and more and more reading of Thy Word, and more love for the people of God, and more song in my heart day to day, and more in my service to Thee. You know, he says in the last two verses, he says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? You know,
so many times in our failures and where we fail one another, we're quick to look and try to find somebody to blame.
There's a theology that exists in this world that even exists among our people somewhat, that the things in which we fail in are God's fault. He's the one that's doing it to you. You say, I've never heard anybody say that. Really, have you ever heard anybody say that the trials and tribulations that they're going through because of their own sin, they ask God, why are you doing this to me? God's not doing those things to them. We go through trials and tribulations in this world because we are sinners.
Yeah.
Sin is the cause of it. And God is not the author of sin. He's not the cause of it. You and I are sinners by nature, and we're sinners by practice. And that's the reason why we have to go through trials and tribulations here in this world. We're not to look at anybody else and say, you know, why are these things, why are we having to go through these things, and whose fault is it? Let us look to ourselves and examine ourselves. Preach the lesson. What's the lesson? The lesson is you've been blessed beyond measure.
Yeah.
You know, and you say, Brother Will, I feel like there's some things that we can improve upon. You better believe it. And I pray that as long as I'm your pastor, we'll keep improving and improving upon things. But never let us think that we're partakers of this blessing because of goodness in and of ourselves. You know, even the Lord told the Israelites that whenever they came into Canaan, that it was not because of their righteousness that they were going to inhabit that land. It wasn't because of their natural goodness. And you and I shouldn't think that it's because of our goodness that we're able to do these things. It's because the Lord has blessed us to be able to take part in His kingdom. What will we do with those goods? Will we waste them? Will we squander them? Or will we utilize them to the glory of the rich man, to the glory of the Lord in this case, so that He can be made to partake of the fruits of the labors that we engage in here in this world? That's what the lesson is. You know, it's not one for, again, let me reiterate this. So often we see the lesson. And you know, that lesson, I don't think that there's a young child among us that could read through that lesson and not kind of realize what was going on in the midst of it. You know, it's one of those things where it's easy to understand, but it's a little bit harder to put into practice. but these things that we've been made to read of, let us put them into practice and not waste what God has given us. You know, every opportunity that you have to come together to worship the Lord is an opportunity that you have. You know, you could have wasted it this morning. You could have got up and said, I just don't think I'm gonna go to church this morning. I think I'll just get some stuff done. You know, there's a reason why the people of God from years ago gone past, and people say, Brother Will, you know, why does it say anywhere in the Scripture that we have to meet at 10:30, have to worship till 12? You know, couldn't we come here earlier? So we got more left of the day when we leave here. You don't know the reason why our people years ago set it up right in the middle of the day? It's because they wanted the day to surround what they were going to do from 10:30 or from 11 to 12 o'clock. The day centered around the worship of the living God.
Yeah.
So that they wouldn't waste one of the goods that God had given them here in this world. You know, that's what the charge is for you and I. You know, my joke with my daddy, he calls me sometimes whenever I'm on the way here on Sunday morning. And just like it is every morning, you know, it's just by habit. He says, what you doing? I told him, I said, well, I reckon we'll go on to church this morning. I reckon we'll just go ahead and go. You know, if there's one thing that I hope that mine grow up to understand is that come Sunday morning, it's time to go to church.
Yeah.
And, you know, being the children of a preacher, a lot of times it's a lot more mornings than that. You know, but they understand that there's a responsibility that's given to people who are made to be partakers of goods here in this world. You know, I like what the preacher said one time, and I know we're coming down and we're going to close. But we got dinner on the grounds today, so if we go right on up to the hour, it'll be all right. We got plenty of us too. But he said, you know, you can't make a child enjoy what you enjoy. You can't do it. Believe you me, I got one that does not enjoy ball as much as I enjoy ball. You can't make them enjoy those things.
No.
You know, and And I don't enjoy racing and stuff like that as much as he does. But I'm trying to find something that we can enjoy together. You know, you can't make a child enjoy what you enjoy and appreciate what you appreciate. But you can make sure that they know what's important to you. You can make sure that they know what stands first in your life. And if it's the kingdom of God, they may not, you can't ingrain that in them. There's going to come a time when they're going to have to make that decision for themselves.
Yeah.
But they can sure look back and say, boy, this was important to mom and daddy. This was important to grandma and grandpa. These things were important to them. You can control that.
Yeah.
Because it's through your conduct that these things can be done. And may the Lord bless us to do that with our stewardship here in the kingdom of God. I thank you for your kind sweet attention this morning.
Bless you, brother.